Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to the Ways of Faith podcast. Today is Wednesday, July. What is today? July 22nd, the feast of St. Mary Magdalene, the Apostle of the Resurrection, she's often referred to as, because she was the first person to see the Lord Jesus after he had risen from the dead. And then she went and told the apostles the tomb was empty. And so we give thanks to God for the gift of St. Mary Magdalene and ask for her intercession today. I'd like to continue my discussion on the Sacrament of Holy Orders. And what I'd like to do today is to begin to talk a little bit about, as I said I would last time, what are called the explanatory rites and some of the rituals that surround the core piece of the celebration of the Sacrament of Holy Orders, which, as I talked about probably a little bit too lengthily last time, is the laying on of hands and the consecration prayer. That is what absolutely must happen for a man to be ordained a deacon, a priest, or a bishop. There are also lots of other rituals, little ceremonies within the ceremony that happen before that moment of ordination and after, okay? The ones before have primarily to do with promises that are made. The ones after are explanatory rites, okay? And that just means exactly what it sounds like. Things happen, rituals occur that help to show forth, explain, and further show to the people and to the priest what has just happened in his soul, what he is now called to do. Okay, so think of it like baptism, right? Before the baptism of a child, if we remember the last time we were at an infant baptism, okay, before the baptism of the child, promises have to be made by the parents and the godparents to raise the child in the Catholic faith. They renew their own baptismal promises in preparation for taking on the responsibility of raising this child in that faith. They say that it is their will that their child be baptized, and then the child is baptized. That's the moment where everything changes, where the sacrament actually takes place. But then after the baptism itself, there's several explanatory rites. If we remember that, you know, the godfather lights the child's baptismal candle from the Easter candle that has been lit the whole time. The child is clothed in a white garment. The child is anointed with sacred chrism oil. Those are all meant to rituals that help us to understand in a deeper way what has taken place in that child's soul in that moment of baptism. Priesthood is very similar to that, okay? So I'd like to start talking about some of those things today. Probably have to continue it into Friday because some of these rituals are incredibly beautiful and, you know, you don't get to see them very often unless you've been at an ordination. But they're incredibly beautiful. So the first thing to note is that when a man is preparing for the priesthood, as I said last time, he must first be ordained to the diaconate and become a deacon, okay? And then he exercises his ministry as a deacon for a period of time. I believe the minimum required amount of time is 6 months. But usually it's typically closer to a year. And then he is ordained a priest. All right. Now, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but the promise of celibacy, the promise not to get married, to renounce marriage for the sake of the kingdom of heaven and for the ministry for the rest of his life, that promise is made at diaconate, not at the priesthood. At the priesthood ordination, there is no mention specifically of a promise of celibacy because he's already made that promise. He made it back at his diaconate ordination. All right, that's when he becomes what's called a cleric, becomes a member of the clergy, is at his diaconate ordination. That's when he makes the promise of celibacy. All right, now, so that's important to understand. Secondly, another promise that a clergyman in the Catholic Church makes is to pray daily what's called the Liturgy of the Hours. And I think what I'll probably do is do a podcast or two or three specifically on what is the Liturgy of the Hours, because we might not be familiar with that. But basically, it's also called the Breviary. It's a 4-volume set of prayer books that the priest works his way throughout every year, right? And it follows the liturgical season. So right now we're in ordinary time, and so it follows where we're at with Mass. So this week in the Breviary, for example, this is the 16th week in ordinary time. So that's where I am in the Breviary as a priest. So today's prayers will all be technically today's prayers would normally be for Wednesday of the 16th week in ordinary time, but because it's the feast of St. Mary Magdalene, most of the prayers that I pray have to do with her and her feast day. It trumps the ordinary time day, okay? So the Liturgy of the Hours is the priest praying with the church, his bride, the church, for the church, and on behalf of the church, okay? It's the public and formal, you could say, outside of the Mass. It's the kind of the public and formal prayer for and on behalf of and with the church that the priest prays. And it's a very solemn obligation that he makes to do it. And so there's 5, they're called hours. They're not because they take an hour each time to pray, but 5 periods of prayer throughout the day, 5 prayer times or prayer stations, you could say. So there's what's called the Office of Readings, and then there's morning prayer, and then there's daytime prayer, and then there's evening prayer, and then there's night prayer. All right. And as best as he can, the priest is ideally supposed to pray those 5 hours at the different times that they're assigned. Strictly speaking, he needs to get all 5 of those prayer periods in each day before the end of the day. You know, so sometimes as a parish priest, you have an incredibly busy morning of attending to emergencies or unexpected things, and you might not actually have the opportunity to pray your morning prayer until 5 o'clock in the evening. Is that okay? Yeah, because you were attending to emergencies, right? But on a normal day, you pray morning prayer in the morning, daytime prayer during the middle of the day, at some point between usually, I try to do mine sometime between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., anywhere in there somewhere, okay? And then evening prayer is typically 4 o'clock or after. Night prayer is prayed right before you go to bed, all right? Office of Readings, that first one that I mentioned, that can actually be prayed at any time during the day. So the priest is free to decide when he's going to do that. I typically do it with morning prayer in the morning. So I do Office of Readings first, followed immediately by morning prayer, okay? And it takes, on average, to do Office of Readings and morning prayer together, 20 to 25 minutes or so. Daytime prayer is very short. It's maybe 5 minutes. Evening prayer takes 10 to 15 minutes. Night prayer takes 5 to 10 minutes. That can vary quite a bit, you know, depending on if I'm moved by something or want to ponder something or, you know, or just am tired and I'm moving more, praying more slowly, whatever it might be. But that's the official prayer of the priest of the church. Now, it's not only for priests. There are lay people who pray the Liturgy of the Hours as well. And if there's any of you who are listening that are interested in that, you know, and maybe even just praying 1 or 2 of the hours of the day, you know, morning prayer and evening prayer with the church each day, come talk to me sometime. I'd love to teach you how to do it. It can seem a little bit complicated at first to somebody that's not used to the system. But once you get used to the system of how it works, it makes sense. So for example, in our diocese and in our country, permanent deacons, like think of Deacon Tim, Deacon Scott, Deacon Fred, Deacon Jack, permanent deacons are required to pray morning prayer and evening prayer. And if they want to pray the other 3 hours as well, they're certainly free to do that. Okay. But a transitional deacon, who's on the way to priesthood, and priests and bishops are required to pray all 5 hours each day. And that reminds us, too, that, you know, our primary vocation as priest is prayer, is to pray for our people on their behalf, to offer sacrifice of prayer and praise to God, okay? So that was kind of a little bit of a sidebar, but what I'm getting at is that promise to pray the Breviary, to pray the Liturgy of the Hours, that's also made in the diaconate, at the diaconate stage, when a man is ordained a transitional deacon, okay? So those 2 promises have already been made. Now, A third promise is the promise of obedience. That one is made both times. Okay, that one is made both times when a man is ordained a deacon and then again when he's ordained a priest. Okay, and there's a beautiful little ritual that goes with that. What happens is that the priest, or to be, you know, the priest to be, the man who's being ordained a priest, when he promises obedience, he comes forward, he kneels down in front of the bishop who's seated on his throne, on his cathedra in the cathedral, right, as a successor of the apostles. And the priest folds his hands together, you know, palm to palm, like we would when we're, like the altar servers do at Mass, or like I do at Mass, right? You know, and he puts his hands out that way, and then the bishop puts his hands on the outside of the priest's joined hands. So it's like he takes his hands into his own, right? And that's actually an ancient gesture of service, of submission. You know, so it would be like a feudal lord and his servant, of kind of like placing your life, you're literally placing your life in his hands, okay? And so then, so it's a beautiful moment. And, you know, we oftentimes in America, you know, with our freedoms that we enjoy, we think of promising obedience to someone else and submitting ourselves to someone else as somehow restrictive. It's not. It's beautifully freeing, because I just trust that what the bishop asks me to do in regards to my ministry, where he asks me to be, is what God is asking of me, and that God will take care of it. And so he places his hands in the hands of the bishop, and then the bishop says, "Do you promise respect and obedience to me and to my successors?" And the priest says, "I do." Okay. Before he does that promise of obedience, however, the man at the priesthood ordination, the man who's going to be ordained a priest, he makes several other promises, and I'd like to read them to you just because they're incredibly beautiful. And it's also good for me as a priest to reread them on occasion and to remind myself of what I have promised, you know, in a lot of ways, just like a married couple, you know, to on occasion, and perhaps on their anniversary, whatever it might be, to remind themselves of the promises they made to their spouse. And so I'm going to read these promises to you so that you can hear them for yourself, okay? So again, this is the promises that are made by the man who is about to be ordained a priest. The bishop has not yet laid hands on him or prayed the consecration prayer at the ordination mass here, so he makes the promises before the ordination, okay? So the men who are about to be ordained priests and who are currently, therefore, transitional deacons, they stand in front of the bishop, and the bishop says, "Dear sons, before you enter the order of the priesthood, you must declare before the people your intention to undertake this office." So in other words, you know, the people who are gathered here are representative of the entire diocese, of which that priest is going to be a servant. And so you need to declare to the people that you're ready to do this and you want to do this, all right? So here's the promises. The first is, do you resolve, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to discharge without fail the office of priesthood in the presbyteral rank as worthy fellow workers with the order of bishops in caring for the Lord's flock? And he says, "I do." All right. So to discharge without fail the office of the priesthood, that is my resolution. That's what I intend as a member of the priesthood, as a fellow worker with the bishop in caring for God's flock. That's basically laying out the definition of what a priest is, right? Secondly, do you resolve to exercise the ministry of the word worthily and wisely, preaching the gospel and teaching the Catholic faith? I do, okay? So there we're talking about the ministry of the priest as prophet, as preacher, okay? Third, do you resolve to celebrate faithfully and reverently, in accord with the Church's tradition, the mysteries of Christ, especially the sacrifice of the Eucharist and the sacrament of reconciliation, for the glory of God and the sanctification of the Christian people? Okay, so, and he says, "I do." He's promising to celebrate all of the rites of the church, all of the sacraments, according to the church's tradition, faithfully and reverently. Do you resolve to implore with us God's mercy upon the people entrusted to your care by observing the command to pray without ceasing? And he says, I do. So that's his reminder of his role as intercessor for his people. Okay. And then he says, the last promise is, do you resolve to be united more closely every day to Christ the High Priest, who offered himself for us to the Father as a pure sacrifice, and with him to consecrate yourselves to God for the salvation of all? And now here the deacon, the priest-to-be, changes his answer slightly. He says, I do with the help of God, right? Because that last promise is so, it's just something that, of course, well, none of these things we could do on our own, but especially what we're talking about there of being united to Christ the High Priest to consecrate ourselves to God for the salvation of all. I do promise that, but only with the help of God can I do that, right? Okay. And then he comes forward to the man who's to be ordained a priest comes forward to promise obedience to the bishop and his successors. So whoever is in a position of authority. So for example, when I promised obedience to the bishop and to his successors, that wasn't just to Bishop Serba. That was to whoever would follow after him. So actually my promise of obedience right now is directed to Father Jim Bissonnette, who is the diocesan administrator. And then when Bishop-elect Michael Malloy is ordained a bishop for our diocese on October 1st, my obedience, my promise of obedience will transfer to him. Okay? So that's enough discussion for today on that. We've discussed, you know, all of the promises before the rite of ordination itself, you know, the laying on of hands and the prayer of consecration. On Friday, I'll talk about some of those really cool rituals that make up the second half of the ordination ceremony. Okay? God bless you.